WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into his frequency, we will daily hear his voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, All Truth, All the Time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, and I thank you for joining us here today. Friends, God bless you. Good morning, or perhaps good evening, or late afternoon. We are on at 6:30 in the morning here on WMIE and WWBC, as well as 5:30 in the afternoon. And if you are on, if you're listening in at 5:30, then I invite you to turn that car towards Island Community Church, because we're going to have a Bible study in about 25 minutes. So I invite you. Love to see you. We have a fair amount of people that come and visit from hearing on the radio, especially on Wednesday night. If you're free tonight, if you love the Word, if you've got the time, point that car to 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island, 6 to about 5 after 7. I'll have you out of there, I promise, by 10 after. We're in the most famous chapter of all the Bible, Romans chapter 8, and I invite you, and love to see you. We're going to have a wonderful time in the Word tonight at 6 o'clock. If you're unable to watch, watch us on Facebook Live. Island Community Church is the place. We also have an app. I'm not sure if it's working that well live, but if it is working, it's Island Community Church FL. But having some problems with that stream lately. But if you were on Facebook, that stream's been working fine. At 6 o'clock, that'll turn on live, and you can watch from the comforts of your own home. So we're in Romans 8 here tonight, right here and right now on the radio. We are listening to the second part of the sermon I just preached just this last Sunday. We're in a brand new series in the book of Galatians. And so many times, as a pastor, when I'm reading verse by verse, I gloss over the greeting in the introduction. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord had me slow down a little bit here this morning, and that's where we're going to pick it up at. Grace and peace. I don't know about you, but I am in the need of grace. I need some grace from God. I'm a sinner. I drop the ball. I miss the mark. I disappoint. I need some grace. How about you? How are you feeling this morning? You know, God's the disciplined. He is the great dispenser of grace. But it doesn't end then. Because Jesus Christ is the great dispenser of peace. Matter of fact, Isaiah the prophet called him the prince of it, the prince of peace. John 14:27, it says, the Lord says, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. In this troubled world out here, sometimes we just need to stop and just hold on to the peace and ask the Lord for some more peace. And the peace, which surpasses all understanding, will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's Philippians 4:8, by the way. Meditate on that verse when you can. Okay, here's part two again. I'd love to see you tonight if you're free. Why don't you come on by and worship with us? We have a fantastic church family. They would greet you with outstretched arms. You can get a cup of coffee or a Diet Coke or something and study the Word with us. I guarantee you, you're going to have a great time. Okay, here we go. Second part of this message. This is an intro to the book of Galatians.
I need God to put his hand on my face like my dad used to do and say, son, I love you. It's all right. I love you, son. Grace. Funny thing is, you find is the more times you realize that you deserve this is when he gives you grace. When that hand comes out, comes on the side of your face and says, I love you. That's what we need. We read through these verses too fast. We want to, let's try and hurry up and get through this opening here, but come and greet me like that, Paul. Matter of fact, I sure wouldn't refuse the peace of Jesus Christ either. With all the evil and turmoil out here in the world, how about a little peace today? How about if I slow down over that verse this morning? Any objections? I think we could do a whole sermon on receiving the grace of God and the peace of Jesus Christ. Does that interest you? Or how about a 52-week series on tithing? Sharon, there's it. No. The grace of God. Pastor Paul, I forgive you. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Count me in. That's for me. Pastor Paul, how about some peace this morning? The same peace that gave the Son of God the courage to get up on the cross when he didn't have to. The peace of God that passes, you'll never get it. You'll never understand. And it's for you. That's Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Even though you might lose your job if you don't take a shot. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer, God help me. Supplication. That's petitioning the Lord for something. Heaven forbid you might even miss a meal. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which is far greater than anything you can think of, or surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. Peace! Jesus stood up in a boat during a storm, lifted up his hand and said, peace, be still. Hurricane stops. Praise be to God. And it's just that fast that he wants to do the same for you today. We're not going to rush through these verses here. The peace of Christ can calm a storm in your life too. All right, one last verse on this life-changing miracle. Jesus says, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer because I have overcome the world, he says, John 16, 33. You too can have peace even in tribulation. This is how you get through these things, is through Jesus Christ flooding you with his peace. It's how you don't worry if your company's going to take your job away for not getting the vaccine. How do you get through these things? There's two or three people in this church at the risk right now of losing everything they have because it is. How do you get through it? The peace of God gets you through it. If it can get the Son of God on the cross, it can get you through whatever you're going through too. Right? These things I've spoken to you that in me you may have peace. In this world you'll have tribulation. Okay, Isaiah the prophet calls the Son of God. Remember one of his names for Jesus? The Prince of Peace means the dispenser of it. He is peace. He's full of it. He's full of peace. And he'll give it to you as well. Let me encourage you to get for yourself an extra helping of the peace of Christ this morning and refuse to let anyone take it from you. Amen. Don't let anyone, any circumstance, any government, any person, don't let them take your peace that Jesus has given to you. Hold on to it. Don't let anyone take it. Don't let anyone take it. Grace to you and peace. He doesn't even greet these people other than he doesn't praise them. This is it. Grace and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus, who gave himself for our sins so that he might deliver us from this present evil age, where King James has world, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And amen. He gave himself because it took himself. It took himself to accomplish such a glorious feat as this. It took himself. He gave himself because himself is the only thing that could save us. His blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. It took himself. And he gave himself. Amen. Because he loves you that much. God loves you so much. And the Son loves you that he got up on the cross when he didn't have to. He said, I could call on 6,000 angels and deliver me right now. If he chose to. But he chose to get up on the cross because he loves us just that much. Now, I could sign off and we could be done with the book of Galatians today by just saying one more thing. And that is, here comes these people creeping in the back door and they say, no, the cross isn't enough. Let me help some little old lady across the street. I know. How about if I give the church some money for their walk for Bibles? Here, you want some money? How much money do you want? How about let's keep some rules? Jesus kept rules, they say. Paul kept. They all followed the law. They didn't eat matzo balls. They kept rules. You got to keep rules. Imagine adding anything to what Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the rub in this letter. They don't have the nerve to say it while he's there. They wait for him to leave. We're going to see the word stealth, spy, slip in, unawares. Those are the words we're going to see next week of what happened when he left. No, what Jesus did on the cross isn't good enough. No, you got to give me cash. Then you'll really get in. Wow, did this make him mad? He was so mad at these people. They're all there is. This is not a greeting to them. This is a praise and exaltation of the triune God. He even greeted the Corinthian church, who was way fallen away from the doing things they shouldn't have done. He greeted them. These guys he doesn't even greet. For making what Jesus did on the cross not good enough. You're going to add to that with your own works. Don't try that at home. Don't try it at home. Now, no sooner than this short sentence or two of praises for the triune God, Paul goes right after them. Matter of fact, again, as I said, this is the only letter written by Paul with no greeting to the recipient. Now here in verse 6, we're going to find out what was happening here in Galatia was worse than what was going on at Corinth. Starts with the words, I marvel. So he praises God, and then he's right at them in the next verse. He doesn't say, greet so-and-so, how I've longed to see you, all those nice greetings he gives to everyone else. Not here. He goes right into blasting them. He praises God, says amen, and then he starts with, I marvel. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm so glad the New King James has this right. The King James uses the same English word for two Greek words, which is incorrect. In verses 6 and 7, the King James says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. Those are two different words. The words are heteros and allos. Heteros means different. Heteros means another of a different kind. Allos means another of the same kind. Like when Jesus said when he departs, he's going to send another helper, meaning the Holy Spirit. It's another of the same kind. Here you get both words used in one sentence. I marvel you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which, verse 7, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Marvel, Paul said. Greek word, thamazo. I love reading in the Gospels when Jesus marveled at something. It means to be struck with astonishment. It means to behold with amazement. Paul is saying, as if you needed any help for me to explain it, because I think we all get the picture here. He said, I am besides myself. Or you could say, I am dumbfounded by what I see. I can't believe what I'm hearing. Because he didn't have FaceTime on his iPhone. He had to wait for a letter to reach him. And he can't believe what he's hearing in his ears. That's what he's saying here. I am beside myself that you are turning away from Jesus Christ, who called you, and he called you in grace, it says. In grace. Remember, as we move along, the algebraic formula of the book of Galatians, all right? Faith plus nothing. Amen. Equals salvation. If you remember anything in this book, remember that. Faith plus nothing. You can't add anything to your faith. You can't. Faith plus nothing equals salvation. He continues, I'm sitting here marveling with great amazement. You're turning away from Jesus Christ, and you're turning away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, and turning away to a different gospel, which is not another. All right, now we'll end this sermon here this morning with this last explanation here. Because I see it is about time to say goodbye here for today. Perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ was this. It was adding to what Jesus did by dying in our place on the cross and shedding his untainted blood for you and I. And for you or for someone to say, no, that's not enough. What Jesus did is not enough. That is perverting the gospel message. Let me add my part to that. Let me give money to the church. They were being told to get circumcised, and they were being told to keep the Old Testament law. What Jesus did, yeah, that was pretty good, I guess. But you got to keep the law, too. And do all those things in the Old Testament law, like Moses tried to. And isn't it funny that they would choose Moses? Because Moses never saw the inside of the promised land. Because he couldn't do it. But they expect you to. Moses never saw the promised land on earth because he couldn't keep all the rules. But they expect you to. They expect you to keep them all. They expect you to do what they can never do. Didn't Jesus condemn that? You Pharisees, he says, you make these people do all these things when you don't lift a finger to do it, he said. You can't keep any of these rules, and you want to make these people keep them. Friends, church, you cannot keep rules to be right with God. You are right with God by faith in Jesus Christ. And when your faith is right, he gives you the strength to do these things that you need to do. You can't do it by keeping rules because you can't keep rules. If Moses can't do it and he saw the face of God, believe me, you can't either. You're not better than Moses. You can't do it. You can't do it. The one true gospel is the gospel of the grace of God, who accepts you as you are, who loved you on your worst day, who saved you because he loves you, and because he chose you, and he saved you because he felt like it. Amen. God felt like it. He saved you because he felt like it. He is God. He can do what he wants. He loves you so much, he chose you and called you and saved you because he felt like doing that. And not by works. Now, Paul wrote this to the young pastor. His name was Titus. And then we're dismissed here for today. Titus chapter 3, verse 4. Paul wrote, "When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified..." This is why, friends, why I really have this gavel. It's to show you what God did for you and I. Justified. When God takes, slams down his gavel and looks at you and says, "Not guilty. I absolve you of every sin you've ever done." And not only that, the Bible says God has amnesia with your sins. He forgets them. Where's that in the Bible? Jeremiah chapter 33, Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far as he doesn't remember our sins. He's got amnesia. If only we would do the same. "Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I'll leave you there. Who do you want to be an heir of today? Your Uncle Harry and his Grand Funk Railroad collection? Or being an heir of Almighty God. Imagine that. Where eyes not seen, nor is ear heard, nor is entered into the hearts of men that which God has prepared for those that love him. And all that done by what he did. All we have to do is receive that. Hallelujah, hallelujah is right. Let's pray. Lord, hallelujah. We shout out your name in the house here today. Hallelujah. Jesus paid it all to him we owe. Sin has left a crimson stain, and you've washed it white as snow. We praise you in the house today, Almighty. Thank you for the work that you and you alone, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, have done on our behalf because you love us that much. It just makes us want to shout. We praise and magnify your holy name here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio. And on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.
You are listening to WMIE, Bavard's home for the very best in contemporary modern praise and worship music. 91.5 FM.
From Love Worth Finding, here's Adrian Rogers with a treasure from the Word.
The family is the basic unit of society, and because of that, Satan, from the Garden of Eden to this day, has waged an all-out war on the family. And there's some who are asking a question, seriously asking it. Does the family have a future? Will it become just a relic of another age? There is a philosophical war against the family. People with their minds are working against the family. We have our children who are being educated in an educational system that says we're going to be neutral. So we're not going to be for God, or we're not going to be against God. Of course, they're not neutral because they teach godless evolution. When you talk to children and tell them there's a fairy tale about a frog that became a prince, we say that's a fairy tale when we're talking in the nursery school, but in the classroom, that's science, when frogs become princes. And they say, well, we're just going to be neutral about it. There are certain things that are non-negotiable. There are certain things that we need to learn if there is going to be a future for our family. And if there's no future for our families, you can put it down big, plain, and straight, there is no future for this nation.
For more about Love Worth Finding and Adrian Rogers, visit our website at lwf.org.
Let the king of my heart be the mountain where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, he is my song. Let the king the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, he is my song. You are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, you are. Keep